Be good, Jesus.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. We are live again. This is Cree and Keita with friends, with Cree and Keita. And we have we have return of our special guest, Mr. Derek Long.
And Don't call me that for nothing.
And Miss Aurelia, we are talking tonight about mental health. Now, before we put this topic out there, it's a disclaimer. Aurelia and I have worked in mental health for over a decade. So my own personal experience with mental health is a journey. And so I'm going to share it with you guys as we go along. But we chose this topic to coordinate with the holidays because a lot of people during the holidays have not. I didn't know we were. Look at us, we chilling. I didn't know that during the holidays. Well, yes, I did because I myself deal with the thoughts of emotions during the holidays because of my upbringing. So this topic is a little bit more personal to me. I don't know about, you know, the rest of my guests, but, you know, during the holidays, I get a lot of different negative thoughts because of loneliness, of because of, you know, what my upbringing was and how I incorporate that into my present day situation. So we're going to talk about mental health. And the first question or the first topic or statement that we're going to tackle is, what is depression? I don't know if we Googled it or if we Wikipedia'd it, but mental health in itself is a wide range of conditions that affect your mood, your thoughts, and your behaviors. Now, if you think about that, most of our thoughts, whether it be good or bad, usually direct how we go about our day. So say, for instance, I wake up and they say on the wrong side of the bed. If I wake up and I'm already upset or I've had a bad night, I couldn't sleep and I woke up with something on my mind and I get up and my toothpaste is empty and, you know, my shower won't get hot. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, my thoughts are going to be nothing but negative. And so that catapults me into a day full of, you know, this isn't going to be a good day. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But coupled with the fact that we have our own issues anyway, on top of the thoughts that we struggle with daily, we wanted to make sure that you guys understand the importance of mental health. Okay, so to my guests,
by the way, too, I just want to say,
yeah, let's go.
So we have some people commenting on here, and
they're just joining.
They're joining.
Yeah, they're okay. Joining right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If anyone has any questions or has a question that they want to ask, please put it on there, and we will do our best to try to answer it for you.
Okay.
All right.
So, with that being said, I want to ask our guest and, of course, my podcast partner.
Yay.
What is your definition of, or what is your experience when it comes to mental health or depression?
I want to shoot that to Keita because Keita been quiet over here for a long time. So I'm going to be black.
My definition of mental health, although I am in the healthcare industry, mental health, because I'm still Keita, is that crazy person, that one that you would think doesn't understand real life issues. That really isn't the case. That person is very smart and very, very intelligent. They just don't know how to handle day-to-day life. They don't, you know, that's mental health. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as we get into different topics, depression, things like that, I think everybody deals with those things. I deal with depression on a lot. You know, And some people say, you know, how do people, why would somebody that has everything get depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that I couldn't be depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that I don't have that right to feel the way I feel? So with mental health, just the issue period, it's touching for me because I do have some people in my family that deal with this on a regular basis. So that's mental health to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Cree, and you know, we are girls, we have had a lot of conversations and come to Jesus moments or whatever, talking about our upbringing. I'm gonna speak about myself. A lot of trauma as a child, and for me, I've dealt with depression, even though I didn't even know that's what it was at the time. I wasn't suicidal. I wasn't, wanting to end things or whatever. And I think for a lot of people, when they think about depression, they think about the extreme end of it. But there's a lot of things that are happening in between that. You can be depressed and not be, you know, suicidal.
Mm-hmm. Should be functional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You just as people who are alcoholics and stuff like that, they can still function. People who are depressed can also, you know, function. So for me, especially around the holidays, especially the month of December, is a very dark time for me. It's a reflection on things I've lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reflection on what I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And most of it, though, is circling around my family and issues or whatever from my childhood and just those traumas with both of my parents, to be honest with you. this is a very deep topic or whatever, you know, for me, most people, they see me, I'm smiling. When you see me smiling, that's genuinely how I feel. But at the same time, though, too, especially in the month of December, it's a very difficult time for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I have to take care of, you know, on my own. I don't hold anybody else responsible for making myself whole and keeping myself healthy emotionally in the month of December.
Okay. And I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick it back to Derek. But what I wanted to share was...
did someone ask a question?
You're good. Go ahead.
Okay. It's awkward.
Go ahead.
He's little. It's okay.
When he says awkward.
He says awkward.
It's awkward.
Oh, okay.
And be watching if it's awkward.
All right. So what we don't want to do is make you feel uncomfortable. But
right.
What we do want is for you to be informed. And so with what I was going to share with you guys is my experience of when I knew that there was an issue. And see, for me, in my opinion, is that some black people, you know, what I've grown up and understood is that we don't want to talk about that we have. We'll go to the hospital. We'll go to the doctor for every little ache and pain that we got in our body.
Right.
But if there's something going on that isn't right in our brain, we'll pray it away. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with prayer because I go to church. Don't get me wrong. But there are some times and some things that you need. God made therapists and psychiatrists too, that we need to utilize certain people for certain things because our mental health is just as important. Your mind can't go where the body doesn't lead you. So with me, you know, earlier on, a lot of abuse, you know, stemmed from, you know, home and a lack or absence of a role model of a relationship, of a healthy relationship, has determined my progress through life. Now, I've learned and lost a lot, but at the same time, I've also dealt with a lot of emotional turmoil, and that carried over into my marriage, and unfortunately, didn't flourish, it ended. And so within that, you know, I had to get help because of the simple fact that I wasn't seeing things rationally to the point where, yes, I did have some thoughts that were not healthy that was going to take me away from the very people that I love. And just like Aurelia says, the holidays are a representation of family. And love, yeah. and togetherness. And that's not what I was feeling. I was feeling isolated and mm-hmm. alone and hurt and, you know, all those things that I long for. Now, don't get me wrong. I do have family. I have some wonderful somebody come in. I have some family, and I love them dearly. I consider them as my rocks, you know, especially my kids. But at the same time, there's also that void, that yearning for a completion, because you're not really completed if you're still searching for something that I had to literally address and get help for. And so what I'm trying to say to our listeners and to those that are listening to us when we're talking about mental health, especially in our Black communities, with everything that's going on today and what's been going on, you know, with us just not supporting each other, that it's okay. We need to talk to someone. We need to be able to say it's okay that we're not okay. So I'm going to kick this over to Derek and allow him to talk to you guys from a male standpoint about what his feelings and thoughts are about mental health and how he's dealt with any depression or any emotions that he's dealt with.
And I'll jump right in. For me as a male, we find it hard to talk about mental depression mm-hmm. or our mental health,
mm-hmm.
Especially to our women. Mm-hmm. It's because we don't want to seem weak. And the moment we start to talk about how we feel,
mm-hmm.
it becomes a problem. Because those questions will be asked of us, what it is, why do we get there? But then at the same time, we feel like if those questions are asked, then are they continuations of our relationships? And whether or not we are judged by our mental health.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, depression is strong. Especially during the holidays.
Yes.
Because holidays tell you that family's supposed to be together, family's supposed to be locked in, and we're supposed to love each other, but we only see each other every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Or at a funeral.
Yeah.
Right.
And the only time that we are able to produce the feelings that we want to feel, it then begins to feel like a fake facade in our own family. That we're acting and posing for people, social media, and our own family. Because we don't want them to know that, hey, I'm at the point where I'm ready to end it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to live here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of the hurt. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the anguish. So I want to end this.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we're sitting here like, if I tell them that, I feel weak. And I don't want to feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be strong.
Especially as a man.
Yeah, especially as a man.
Right.
Because we are supposed to be the providers. We are supposed to be the confidants. We are supposed to be the leaders. And when we don't feel like, man, I can be that 100% guy for her,
mm-hmm.
then we go, and I'll explain to you women here, and I'll just let y'all understand. We go into a mode of shutdown where you don't understand why we're shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because of you. It's because of how we were raised. It's because of the situations that were brought to us long before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is I don't want to tell you that because it makes me feel like I'm weaker. I'm the weaker guy. I'm not the alpha male that you saw me out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the person that you wanted me to be. And I think with mental health is we have to start communicating with male and female in black families. It's to understand there's abuses that happen in black families that we have no idea of each other. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether it be rape with black women or whether it be molestation with black men. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about that. We leave it silent.
The earlier comment was, this is awkward.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that.
You shouldn't say it. It's a bad word.
Right. Mental health. So why are y'all talking about this? Because this is strange.
Mental health is synonymous with you're crazy.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And the idea of crazy, what they teach us in school, insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result.
Yep.
So if you're not talking about it and you're looking the other way, then yeah, that would be crazy because you're gonna return back to the exact same result. I have an uncle. I love him dearly, but he is diagnosed with schizophrenia. I don't know if you guys know anything about schizophrenia. It is a...
it's remarkable.
Yes, it is. It's a psychotic disorder. Yes. And what you experience is delusions.
Hallucinations.
And hallucinations and things of that sort. Well, that doesn't mean he doesn't have any sense.
Right.
Right.
It just means that his reality is different from everybody else's. And so I have a family member that says, well, he knows y'all. He knows who we are. He knows our name. He can tell us. Okay. But that doesn't mean his reality isn't distorted.
But if you don't nurture that family member, if you take that family member and put that family member on an island, and tell that family member, until you get to where we are.
Yeah, act like us.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Then we can't accept you.
Right.
That turns into crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because that person is not able to express themselves in a way that they feel comfortable with expressing themselves to you to let you know that, hey, I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can't get through this without you. I can't be me until you accept me. And a lot of times I feel like in black families is that from older days, remember if we were talking about rape culture, preachers, okay, church, we go by tradition and we teach our children tradition. And what happens is we get so caught up in tradition that we forget the person that we're caught up with is tradition. And we allow that person to be sucked in into an abyss of distress, of depression, of I want to kill myself, I don't want to be here, so much so that we forget that person's a living human being just like you, and they have problems just like you, but we don't want to accept it because we don't want people to look and peer into our window and say, oh Lord, here they go again. And when you do that, you dismiss the hurt that's in that person. Mm-hmm. And just because you think that person's crazy, they ain't crazy. Mm-mm. They can see exactly how you dismiss them.
Yeah.
They can see exactly how you push them to the side because it doesn't fit your way of life. Okay?
Well, listen, so that makes total sense. So back in our day, when I was younger, you would have that crazy cousin or that crazy aunt that grandma or granddad put in the room and locked up. That's because they didn't want to deal with the fact that they had issues that they could not take care of. They didn't want to take them to the doctor. They didn't want to tell, to be told that so-and-so has some issues, they need help. Because they don't want the world or the neighborhood to know they got a crazy person in their family. You already
and a
know.
Lot of times that person wasn't crazy.
No.
They were exploiting what was already there.
Very wise. Very wise. But I would go over to my grandmother's house and there's grandma so-and-so in the room. And I'm like, why she can't come out and talk to us? Because y'all have deemed her crazy. But all she needed was somebody to either talk to her, sit down and have a conversation with her, or just be there for her. She has some stuff that's exactly. And we turn that off. And even to this day, we still do that. when your kid maybe come to you and say, oh, you know, so-and-so's picking with me at school, this, that, and the third, that's still a situation that we need to deal with. Because later on down the line, now we got an R. Kelly situation. Or we got a Chris Stokes situation. You know what I'm saying?
And disclaimer, we're not laughing at those situations, but...
But we're just saying...
What came to mind is that, you know, I have kids. And being a parent, a foster parent, whatever kind of parent, whatever you are as a parent, a parental figure, it is a very interesting journey when it comes to that. And I have learned so much from when my kids were little to now that they're, my youngest today is 20. I have a whole different psyche now, and I understand that I literally have to laugh at certain things that my kids do because I was there. I was 20. I was,
they're you.
They're me. They're their father. So they have to go through that journey. They have to do certain things, and I have to sit there and think to myself, oh, my God, did I do this to my mom? What was she?
Right.
Like, what could she have been thinking in her age, when I was that age, what could it have possibly been? And I'm thinking to myself now, these new age parents who have, you know, grandkids and kids growing up at the same age, you know, not to talk about anybody, like it's wild because you don't understand how the psyche is affected when you're not addressing the issues of what is going on in your family or what's going on in your mind with your family, then it carries over to the next generation and it'll continue to get worse. This generation right here, I can't even explain. What are they? What is it called? The Zennials? What are they? The I have no
idea. Millennials?
No, they passed it.
Unknowns. That's what I'm going to name them.
Right.
Because right now, they have a lot of potential to turn this whole world around, but they have very little direction because they don't have the model that maybe our generation had before and that generation before had, because there were some things that we either looked over or we handled in-house. I was always told, don't go out there and tell your business.
Go on in this house, it stays in this house.
Unfortunately.
So yeah. Like they say nowadays, grandparents now eating crab legs.
Right.
Uncle so-and-so is touching cousin, Isha, then we can't hide that.
And can I say this right now for black men, the rape culture is so prominent now. Hey Steph, the rape culture is so prominent, and if we don't stop and say, I'm protecting my investments.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether or not she's my sister, she's my mother, she's my daughter, she's my friend, she's my investment. Because we don't have anybody watching us. We don't have anybody watching over our women. Okay? It's more black women than there are black men per capita in the United States.
Yes.
Period. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's hard to find a bunch of protectors when social media, TV have promoted black men to be demasculated to the point of black women feeling like they don't have a protector. They don't have somebody there to watch their back.
You have a really good question on here regarding, can't find it. It's regarding, I guess, as a black woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely feel... And this is not even just black, but since we all are color here, how do most black men, and I know you can't represent the entire group, you know what I mean? But from your own experience, how do we recognize, you know, depression in black men as black women?
I'll tell you this. when we are non-sociable, okay, when we cut ourselves off from everybody, there's a problem. Okay. And to recognize that, you have to understand, you have to watch actions. Okay. For me, I can't talk for every black man out there.
Right.
But for me, today, I was in my kitchen washing dishes, cleaning my house. And I said, Derek, you got to get out more. You got to see people more. You've come to the point where you've locked yourself in to where nobody can figure out who you are. And the only thing that people are watching is your social media. And your social media is not you. Your social media is a 1.5% of who you are. But that other percentage is not being shown properly. And so for black women, I would tell them, when a man gets quiet, there's a problem. Because we are vocal when we're after something, when we want something. That's how we pursue y'all. Right? We're vocal. We tell you exactly what we want. We'll show up and show out. Okay?
Pose that question back to us.
So, I like to ask black women, how do we figure out when you're not settled, when you're not right within, when you're depressed, and how do we come at you to the point that you don't feel like we're attacking you?
For me, kind of like you, it's isolation. I will not answer my phone. I come in.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When you said you don't answer your phone, and I really need to know this because I don't want to make mistakes with women in the future. When I'll say this to me as a black man, when you don't answer your phone when I'm trying to talk to you, a lot of times I want to talk to you because you're the only saving grace that I need right now.
But if that's not...
And if you cut off that saving grace from me, I will cut you off, period.
But if that's not discussed in the beginning, and I'm going to speak for me, is that if you're not telling me that in the beginning, and I'm already dealing with my own mess, my own stuff, my own issues, then there's no glimmer of me trying to understand it from your point of view. I'm going to shut down. Like, I'd shut myself off from the entire world.
And I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what we do. We shut off. And I can be the first one to admit, I will cut everybody off. I will not text. I will not talk. And if I really, really need to hear your voice, I will text you. And if you don't respond when I need you to respond to me, I will interpret that as you don't need me in your life. And I will back the hell up, and I will go my own way, and I will stop talking to you forever because I feel like you abandoned me.
Where does that come from? Because for me, I've had those thoughts. I've been like, okay, you don't want anything to do with me. I must not be important. Again, those thoughts, whatever seed you plant, and however you nurture that seed, whether it be when you grow on a plant, in order to get that plant to grow, you need water, you need sunlight, you need a few things to make that plant grow. But in order for that to grow, you need those things. But if you want to make that die, then you're gonna do some very negative things. So for me, if you're not responding to me, in my mind, I'm not worthy. I'm not wanted. I'm not wanted.
And that could be further from the truth.
It could be, but in my mind, and that's the dangerous part.
Because it's both of us doing the same exact thing
at the same time.
And you know what? And that's the reason why, when it comes to our behavioral health or mental health, it's a unique experience. It is a subjective.
And we're twin spirits.
Yes.
A lot of people don't understand it. Yeah. We're twin spirits. And for men, women think we're just ignoring you because we don't want you. No, we're not ignoring you because we don't want you. We're ignoring you because of the simple fact there is so much going on right now. What you might bring to the table and what you might want at that time, mm-hmm. I can't give it to you.
All right. So I have to ask you this. So when they're, because there have been times, not as of late, but there have been times with the person that, you know, I'm dating. And even previously, even I remember this in my dad, there'd be times he would be angry. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about.
Hot as hell.
And you scared. Because yeah. That's one thing about men. When y'all mad and y'all angry, you can feel it. The whole house could crumble down from it. When mama mad, you know what I mean? You were just going to make us some right. Get her favorite meal, get her some flowers. But when a man is angry, you know what I mean? And just quiet. Nothing to say. So that, I mean, should we, I don't want to assume anything, but is it safe to probably feel that there's some depression going on?
Yes, instant.
Okay.
The moment your man disconnects from you and everything around him, there's something going on that he needs to talk about, but he don't want to talk about because he don't want to start an argument.
Yeah. Right?
Because a lot of times, women try to be fixers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you can't fix everything. Something.
Right.
Okay. And what we try to express to women is, look, baby, I love you, but this ain't something you gonna fix overnight.
Yeah.
Okay. As much as you want to, as much as you try to, this is not gonna happen. Okay?
Yeah.
So what I need you to do is concentrate on just loving me right now. Concentrate on encouraging me. Concentrate on pushing me to get out of these negative thoughts. Because we as men need to do the same thing with women.
Right.
Is it healthy? And I'm sorry. Is it healthy when you have two people that are battling negative thoughts that are trying to make something happen, make something work, to try to support each other, trying to encourage each other, and they having these thoughts at the exact same time? Like, how do you get? How does a woman who is having her own issues help a man who's having his issues?
You want to know what? I'm going to take it back old school. I'm going to tell y'all women something. The one thing I respect about my grandmother, my mother, and the women that were in my family was the power of prayer. Mm. And to bring your man and say, baby, look, let's just pray about it.
Oh, that's okay. Really awesome.
Because I know that within my flesh, mm-hmm. I ain't thinking about God when I'm pissed off.
Right, right.
All I'm thinking about is I'm
right.
mad.
Right, right. Okay,
that shit ain't going my way.
Right.
That I can't provide for my family like I want to. That I can't get my wife or my woman what she needs. And the only thing that will separate me from that negativity is my woman saying, look, stop. Come in here with me. Get on your knees and pray. Because even though the man is the head of the house, the woman is the priestess of the house. She teaches the children how to pray. She teaches the children about God. Not the man. Because we are so worried about fighting everything that comes towards us and trying to deflect anything that comes near our family that we miss God in the midst of it. And you guys, you ladies, are the foundation of our spirits, okay? Which that wisdom that comes in, that intuition that y'all women say y'all have when a nigga cheating and doing all kinds of stupid shit, that's the same intuition that y'all can have when it comes to we having bad problems and you don't know how to get him out of his depression. Yeah. But you have to come to him in a godly form and say, you know what, baby? I don't care what we're going through. I don't care if we live in the cardboard box. We're going to talk to God together. And we're going to fix this.
I love it.
And
it's beautiful, honestly.
At those times, that's when a man will say, I love her.
Yeah.
Because she helped me when I couldn't help myself.
Somebody come in and said that communication is a big key in that. So in me in the past, If I'm going through my own episode of depression, mm-hmm. then you have something going on, mm-hmm. and neither one of us are, we're too high strung to come to each other and say, I need to just talk, or I need you here. How do you open up that conversation and just be like, you know, you may be going through something, but I just need your presence here so that maybe we can maybe work our way through what we got going on.
Baby, let's take our egos out of this first.
Right.
Because okay? our ego plays first. Mm-hmm. Okay. We always play our ego against each other in order to deal. Okay. My thing is, if my woman's going through something and I know she's a strong woman, I know she's a worthy woman to be in my life, mm-hmm. and I know she's got more potential than anybody in the world, I gotta listen to her. And the fact is, because women have feelings, that's where your play is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Our play as men are not in our feelings. Okay. Our play is in protection. Our play is
providing.
Mm-hmm. I can't play in my feelings when I'm providing, because there's always a sucker out there looking to jack what I got. Okay. So when you're feeling bad and I'm feeling bad and I don't know how to get in, we both have to think to ourselves, because I can't tell a woman, oh, get out your feelings. No.
Right.
What I have to do is understand that, hey, I'm in a situation right now. We're both in a situation right now mm-hmm. where we're not at our best. And so a lot of times I have to tell myself sometimes, shut up, Derek. Let her talk. Let her explain to you what's going on so that I can understand her. If I don't do that, then I'm not being a partner to you. Okay. I'm only making you my trash bin of negative results.
Mm-hmm. No trash bin.
And a lot of women do that.
Yeah.
A lot of women accept that trash bin of negative results from that guy.
That's true.
Why? Why do you think that is?
Because they don't want to lose. Because they see the potential in that guy.
In that person. Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to lose him. But at the same time, they're saying, I'm losing myself fucking with him.
Right. Right. You better say that.
Am I lying?
Absolutely not.
You better
absolutely
say that.
Absolutely not.
And I would never tell a woman, hey, lose yourself in fucking with a guy who can't understand that she got the same fucking feelings. Because the biggest misconception in black men and women, whether you're black, white, Chinese, whatever, Mexican, whatever, the biggest misconception is just because our sex is different, that we don't have the same feelings.
Right.
That we don't understand the same issues.
Right.
Yeah, we right. do. What we do is we generalize each other's sexes to say that we're right.
Let me ask you a question. Why are men more comfortable expressing anger than they are with disappointment?
Because it's a taught situation.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
We're taught at birth. Men are taught at birth to be fighters, to be protectors.
Is that from, and I'm speaking specifically, and don't get it twisted. I don't care what you get twisted. Specifically speaking to black men,
okay.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think it comes from a mentality of loss between black women and black men. Mm-hmm. Because the black man has been lost out of the family, mm-hmm. then we have no say. Mm-hmm. Okay? We lose, over the past 40, 50 years, we've lost that power. Because there's not many of us. Mm-hmm. We're either in jail, dead, or just off the radar. Mm-hmm. Because some of us have been raised by single women families. Mm-hmm. We've not learned to be men because there was no men in our family. Mm-hmm. So I try to get black women to understand, not all men are the same. Mm-hmm. We were not born into families with men to show us exactly how to be a man. It's like I explain to my son all the time. I tell him, son, I don't want you smoking because mm-hmm. I'm smoking. Mm-hmm. I don't want you smoking because I didn't have a father to tell me not to. Mm-hmm. You got a father who's telling you not to. And the only reason I'm telling you not to, because I'm addicted. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with black men in relationships. We didn't have a guideline to understand where to go mm-hmm. and how to treat this woman. How to understand that that's your best friend. That's your confidant. That's your wisdom when you don't have any. Because that's where our anger. Any man, it don't matter if you're black or white. Mm-hmm. Any man, we have anger issues, not just from our childhood, but from life.
But is it considered, is it really anger? Because like you said, anger is what was taught, but the other emotions that aren't expressed, like hurt and disappointment, those aren't like, those are to me, for men, black men in particular, are signs of weakness. That's why they don't express them.
I'm glad you said that, because that is exactly it. We're not able to express that. And the moment that we express, and I don't want to tell all black women, the moment that we express how we feel, if the first thing you say is you're in your feelings, that pisses us off.
Right.
Because we're like, look, God damn it, we've not been able to tell you how we feel. Yeah. And I open up to you and this is what you fucking say.
Okay, I'll be angry then.
Now I'm back to piss.
Right.
Now I want to fight. Because you didn't allow me to come to you openly.
Right.
And you be nurturing. When I once again, when I told y'all about nurturing, nurturing is not just about me having sex with you, laying on your body. Nurturing is a mental issue with men mm-hmm. when it comes to a woman. Mm-hmm. Because y'all have a power, not between your legs, but between your ears.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us think it's in between our legs.
It ain't.
It's sometimes it's distorted because that's not what we see.
That's not your power, baby.
But and some women don't understand that until it's, I ain't gonna say it's too late, but you're so later on in life that it's like there's no going back. Like it is going back.
Yeah, because you missed your blessings.
You missed a couple of blessings because you didn't learn. You didn't understand that it's not there. It's up here. And when you're trying to get your men to understand mm-hmm. or the men to understand, hey, I got something up here. Let's look at that. They don't look at that because all you've shown was what's down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. Is that women, period, don't understand that because we're the force, the muscle, doesn't mean we're the strongest. Okay? Muscle does not mean they're the strongest. Y'all have babies.
Exactly.
Okay? And that means when y'all have a baby, I read one time that when you have a baby, it's the equivalent of breaking 50 bones at one time.
You know, right.
Okay? You die a few times.
Okay. Right.
I say that to say, when it comes to fighting something, y'all can't do it. You're the weaker vessel. Hmm. But when it comes to mental strength, y'all are a strong vessel. Y'all will take more pain than we will.
Yeah.
We will bitch her. I'm a tattoo artist. You know what? Every time a woman comes in and gets one, she take this shit like a champ. Okay? A dude come in there, that motherfucker be crying like a bitch. Okay? And I respect women's ability to take so much pain and receive so little for it.
Mm. Mm. Love it.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say never for females out there, and I want every female to understand, never think.
You're about a billion.
I got you.
Even though he said he's crazy.
You. Right.
Yeah. I got to come.
Never think that you're inadequate to a man mm-hmm. or that you're not sizing up or that you're not worthy. Mm-hmm. You are. It depends on what man you got in your corner. It depends on what that man sees in you. And for me, if I get a woman that sees that, hey, I'm going to let him be the man and I'm going to let him do what he does, I'm going to trust his judgment. And the moment that I can't trust the judgment, I'm coming to him and tell him, I don't trust that. I need that.
Do you feel that going to see a therapist,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
There's not. I wish
individually
more
and as couples,
African American men and women would go see a therapist together.
Individually and together. Yeah.
Because it allows you to say things with a third party that is able to look from the outside in.
Right.
And have a different opinion without being inside. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I get pissed off at guys and men, period, in my age group, because we sit and we promote the same fucking abuse to women without any idea of how it affects them. Mm-hmm. And then when they go to the next man, that man who wants to love them, that man who wants to hold them and let them understand that, hey, baby, I'm here for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to love you. She's no longer the woman she was before.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes us to have to fight hard.
Yes.
To the point of we get tired of fighting and say, fuck it, I don't want to fight.
Fight the relationship and then fight the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I got to fight the world and then fight my woman and let her know I love her, it is fucking hell. I went through that. The last relationship, she didn't trust anything I said. And I was like, look, let me tell you something. I really love you. I love everything about you. No, you don't have the money that some other girl has. No, you don't have the education that some other girl has. But you got qualities that I see in you. And no matter how fucking poor you think you are, I see you're rich in this area. And that's the same thing y'all do with us. Us brothers who are out there hustling and selling drugs and doing whatever we got to do, y'all see that in us and y'all instantly gravitate towards it and y'all will follow blindly just to make sure he understands that I see that. Because you see his potential.
Yeah.
And you don't cower down to it. But men are the weaker vessels. When we see potential, but a woman messes around and doesn't do exactly what we think she should, we run, leaving her questioning herself for the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving her questioning herself with how she stands with every man she runs into. And it causes a situation with every man she runs into to make her think, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want a woman to think, you're not good enough. You're perfect. Just don't be perfect for the wrong motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. One of my best friends, she always says, you know, in terms of people that she's dated, that, you know, wow, that she may not be the right, you know, woman for him. And then vice versa, he could be great with somebody else.
Right.
You know, and the same for her as well. It doesn't make that person, though, a bad person. No. It doesn't make her a bad person.
No.
You know.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Sorry.
Y'all ask your next question.
What was your next question?
My next question actually was going to be something that he was going to need to answer, but since he's going to the bathroom, having a bathroom break, he had discussed, and we'll bring that up when he comes back, about some of the things that disturb a man's psyche when it comes to mental health. And he talked about how, when it comes to being the protector, when you get somebody, like you get pulled over, if a man gets pulled over by a cop and he has to be subservient to that cop and how he treats them and, you know, how that makes that, how it makes it look, him look to that woman, how that takes away from him as a man. And now he has to try to make up for that. And I think for me as a woman, you know, I see the struggles that, you know, our men, our black men, and I'm so sorry if this offends anyone that's of a different race, but, you know, I really believe and feel that our black men are under attack. And I believe that, you know, there's so many different things that's coming at them that when they're taken out of their, you know, natural environment, natural state, and there's things that are being taken away from them that shows that they are kings, that, you know, it makes it that much harder for us as black women to
be able to connect with them, because we don't know the struggle that they go through in their mind when they're being, you know, stripped of their manhood, or when they're being, you know, being made to look as if they are less than. My question was, what are some situations that hurt, that truly hurt, you know, Black men, that is... he's back, y'all. What are some situations that really hurt the Black man's psyche that women need, us Black women need to understand? And I was talking earlier about how you was telling us about, you know, when, you know, we're, when you're together in a relationship and say a cop pull you over and you get pulled out and, you know, they're they're making you feel less than and in front of your woman.
And it goes back to Jim Crow days, slavery, all that.
Mm-hmm.
When a Black man is pulled over, I've been pulled over a couple of times, and I've been pulled over with the woman I was with at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel so fucking small that I couldn't say what I wanted to say, that I couldn't be defensive, that I couldn't tell them, fuck you, get out of my face. Mm-hmm. Same way white folks are able to do the same shit. Because I've heard it. My white friends be like, fuck you, you ain't got no goddamn right to stop me, motherfucker. You can see my attorney. Okay? I can't say that.
You can't say that.
Because I might not make it home.
Right.
She might
not
either.
Right.
And that disconnect right there pisses us off.
Yeah.
Because we can't, that makes us feel like we can't protect our one.
And I think with some, not all, with some cops, they like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They love that. To do that, especially in front of a woman.
Right.
To make you feel like
belittle you.
And I'm going to belittle
you. We're not going to make this about a, you know, police brutality thing or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I'll be honest.
Yeah.
No. Back when I was younger, I sold cocaine, weed, all that crazy mess, right? But even now, 10, 12 years later, okay, when I get stopped by cops, you know the first thing they tell me? You still messing with them drugs, Mr. Long? Do you know how disparaging that is for us to say, I've changed my life?
Yeah.
I'm a new person. But every goddamn time I get stopped, this motherfucker wants to bring it up. And it ain't been one cop. It's been every single last one, because they got information on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes us feel less than. That I can't protect her. I can't make her feel whole in front of this motherfucker. Because I'm going to tell you something, my white friends, I love you to death. But what pisses me off about y'all, and I don't care if you get mad, or you don't mess with my business anymore or do business with me, but what pisses us off is that the simple fact is you don't understand. When I show Black love, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When I say I love my Black woman, it's a problem. But when you say you love your country, it ain't.
All right.
You tell us forget slavery, but remember 9/11.
All right.
And so this is where we disconnect, and I say, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about.
That's right here.
And I ain't being mean, because I got white people in my family.
Yeah, no, okay? I love it.
And
yeah.
It has nothing to do with me being racist. That is the, look, I want to tell y'all white folks something. Racist means this, that you have control over my money, my assets, and everything. You don't have that control, okay? There's a difference between racism and prejudice, okay?
Yes.
Prejudice is a state of mind when you're so stupid that you only see one view and you don't want to change. That's prejudice, okay? So let's get this right. Y'all stop throwing racists out there because we love ourselves. That pisses me off when I can't show Black love. Because, then, and I'm going to tell y'all Black women something. Get to the point where you stop saying niggas ain't shit.
Oh, I'm done.
I have a specific reason why I say that. Because you are promoting the culture.
Yeah.
Right.
You are promoting that idea.
Yep.
Okay? And not all black men are niggas.
No.
True. Okay?
No.
Some true. Men are men. Mm-hmm. And just because it didn't go your way doesn't mean he a nigga.
Right.
Right.
Or that he ain't shit.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. He just ain't shit because he ain't doing what you want him to do.
Yeah. Right.
You he's still a good it. Man.
But
still a good man.
You have to understand that when you say that, you further make it okay for somebody when a black man gets shot in the street. Mm-hmm. Say, well, he had all these other crimes that he did in his past.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Maybe if he'd done X, Y, Z, he'd still be breathing. Yeah. No, motherfucker, that ain't right. it.
Because you can be perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfection. Yes.
In this country, yes. no matter what you do, mm-hmm. your color stands before
anything
character.
Else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, to end that little situation right there, is to tell y'all that we want to be great. Mm-hmm. Black men are just tired.
Yeah.
We are. You outnumber us. We don't talk as much as y'all. Mm-hmm. Women talk more than men, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to let y'all know that it's not that we don't know how to show our feelings. We're just afraid if we do the disappointment that we're going to experience again and again mm-hmm. and again and again. Mm-hmm. And we understand, some of us understand the same plight y'all going through, but we don't know how to express it to you. Yeah.
So when it's getting to a point where it's and I know for myself what, and for anyone that experienced depression, you know, there are signs, there are, you know, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness and thoughts of, you know, suicide and, you know, homicide, actually. You know, there are some things that, you know, are telltale signs that where you need to go get help. But when it's getting to a level of where it's dangerous for a man, you know, I can speak all day, you know, from a woman's point of view, not for all women, but from my point of view. But when it's getting dangerous for a man, how does his woman or a woman help?
Pick up the phone. When we call you late at night, we want to talk, and we never call you that late, pick up the phone. Okay? No matter how angry you are, pick up the phone. Because a lot of times, we would start a conversation off that sounds meaningless, mm-hmm. but we're really just fishing.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
To see
if I can even talk to you.
Yeah, to see if I can rely on you.
That makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
because men are going to be like, we need to talk.
No. Right.
Because if they come at you like that, you're like, what you done did?
Yeah. Or, what the fuck I done done?
Right. Right.
And it's right. so sad, right? Because literally, like, nothing was wrong. Everything was perfect. But I just, you know, just need to talk. And immediately, sadly, he thought it was something that he had done.
Yeah, because we're always used to being beat up on, whether it's at the job,
like, wow.
whether it's with our partners, whether it was yeah. with our kids. Mm-hmm. We are always... I'm going to tell you something that I've noticed in my whole life, okay, with my children and how culture has affected my children, okay? Father's Day comes around. My kids don't give me shit. And I spend more money on their ass than a little bit. But Father's Day come around, they're like, oh, Pop's got it. But they don't understand that it means a lot to us just as much as it means to the mothers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. And when you have mothers going on the internet saying, I'm a father and a dad, no the fuck you ain't.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You can't teach them how to piss stand
up. Never.
You can't teach them how to fight back. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're a woman. That's a difference. And so when you take that away from us, that is the final blow to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying that, hey, just because you weren't there, a lot of times, people don't know the situation. Every situation is different for mothers.
Very different.
And there are vindictive mothers as there are fathers.
Yes.
And they will hide kids away and use kids as weapons
yes.
against the fathers.
Pawns. Yes.
Yeah. Pawns.
And that shit is unfair. When I say depression, my mom used to call me Mr. Mom when my child was born. And the reason she called me Mr. Mom because I was protective of him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't let nobody babysit my son. If he had to go somewhere, he was coming with me.
Right.
And I did
as it should be.
Because
predators I was in, out here.
That was the first time something had loved me more than anybody in the world.
Yes.
And for women to equate that because you're a female, you love your child more than that father does. Right. That is a bullshit lie. And that's what makes us angry and violent.
Yes.
Because you are taking the one fucking thing that we have loved, that the only thing we have, we may not have a dime in our fucking pocket to take care of that child. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that we know that loves us unconditionally, even if you don't, is our child.
Mm-hmm.
And when you use that child as a pawn, we go nuts. We go to mental depression.
Mm-hmm.
We want to kill ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to selling drugs. We go back to doing the same things that hurt us in the beginning because we feel like, well, what the fuck I got to live for?
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford a child.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah, I got nothing to lose. Because we equate children with finance instead of love after a while when you do that. As a burden rather than our seed.
Yeah.
And I try to tell women all the time, look, don't be so hard on them. Men don't connect with children until they're 8 years old and above. Okay? That's a fact. Okay? In every generation, we don't. Because that at that time, that child's able to tell us what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And explain to us in depth what's going on so we can handle the situation.
Because you all don't just do this natural feelings.
No. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said before.
Logical. Right. Men are logical.
The child is in you, and that child learns every behavior in you before it comes out of it.
Right.
That child learns how to manipulate before it comes out of you.
Yeah.
So, as a man, we don't know that child. This is why children are scared of fathers.
Right.
And respect fathers up front. Because it has not been inside him for 9 months.
Right.
It doesn't know that father, but it knows that voice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that voice is like the sound of God.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Oh, shit, that nigga said some shit. That ain't my mama talking. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
When the child experiences it, mamas get mad, like, why the fuck he doing what you want him to do?
Right.
And this motherfucker don't never do what I want him to do. And it's because that child has not experienced that emotional connection. And I wish women would understand, when you meddle in that child's relationship with their father, you're meddling with that child's relationship for life, in life, because that child could grow up to be something great if you would get out of your ego and your feelings and say, you know what, I'm gonna be adult about this, even though I hate this motherfucker, I don't like this motherfucker. Okay, my child has a relationship. It's just like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you think of it. A mother has half of that circle. A father has the other half of that circle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take one piece of that circle, that child is left unwhole.
Yeah,
that's true.
Wide open.
Yeah,
that's true. Mm-hmm.
And allow for influences to come in and dictate where their life will go.
Right.
And this is why I tell mothers, stop using a child as a pawn in your war.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that child will never learn that whole half of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that even without both of my parents. Neither one of my parents did what they were fucking supposed to do.
Same here.
And I love them. I love them to death.
Yeah.
But I learned that because they didn't do what they were supposed to do, parts of my life end up fucked up.
Yeah.
Because I didn't learn from them. I learned from experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience hurt.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, I would tell y'all women, don't believe the hype. Okay. Mm-hmm. Especially with black men. Don't believe the bullshit hype that we don't care, that we don't want to. We want to give our kids every fucking thing you want to give them.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we got to try to figure out how to get it is a whole nother issue. And it causes depression in us. And that child ends up gravitating to that same depression in life. My son told me, personally, he's 20 years old, and my son told me, I watch you and mom getting fights about me. I watched this happen.
Mm.
And I want to kill myself.
Mm.
And when I said that, when he told me that, that hurt me to my soul. Because I'm thinking, man, this is my child. I love him. I want to embrace him. I want to give him everything. But the fact that my child was able to see that his mom and dad were not getting along were not at the point to where we were mature enough to say, hey, this is our child. Let's not let our children see this in us. Mm-hmm. We didn't know it affected him like that. But at the end, my kid comes and tells me this when he's damn near grown.
Right.
When he's able to express himself.
And the imprint has already been made.
Yeah.
And so now you can't go back and fix it. You can't go back and change it. Because you didn't know it was happening. But he knew. And that's my only thing, is to just let black women know that we love you. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you. And even though we don't say it, doesn't mean we don't recognize it.
And with that, you guys, we're going to wrap up the first part of our two-part series of mental health. And not only just during the holidays, but just mental health and depression with the black community.
And anxiety.
And anxiety. Mm-hmm. Our next show will
Xanax.
Be... our next show
Crown.
Will be coming through. Look, I can't get serious. I'm trying to make this a serious moment.
Right.
Our next show will be coming up in 2 weeks. And I hope you guys understand that we, as much as we had a great time, that we learned a lot. And we hope that you guys learned a lot about mental health and mental illness as it relates to relationships and from coming from a black man's perspective and black women's perspective, and how we can move forward and make sure that we support one another. And so in wrapping this up, the next time we come on air, you guys are more than welcome to, if we're on live, and I'm pretty sure that we probably will be, to ask us questions that we will answer while we're on live. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening and allowing us to share with you guys our experiences and laughing and joking. But this is a very serious topic, and we want to make sure that you understand that there is help. There is resources out there that you guys can reach out to. And if you need those resources, just pick up the phone and ask, or you can contact one of us. We have a webpage, and if you have any questions, you can ask us, and we'll be more than happy to point you in the right direction. So, as we wrap up tonight, we want to thank our guest, Derek, who I think will probably be back again, and Aurelia, who will probably be back again.
I definitely will.
And we want to thank you guys for supporting us, and we love you. And
make sure that you follow us on Friends Talk with Cree and Keita on Facebook.
Yes, yay! Yes, yes.
Follow us.
I will post the link on my page so you guys can follow us.
Yes.
So you guys can see all the videos and hear all the videos that they have each and every other week, so that you guys can be a part of this conversation.
Right.
And we appreciate you guys. So you have a wonderful night, and we will talk to you later.
And I got one more thing to say. Raw damn Tide Raw.
Bro, war is on! War is on! We ain't there, but war is on!
LSU.
Oh my God.
He's an outsider.